Hi there, and thanks for joining us. Coming up on today's podcast, a Cork business that uses dry ice and not in music videos, and the former TD who's helping businesses find their financial feet. I'm Jonathan Healy, and this is Red Business.
Red Business, Cork's exclusive business podcast.
Now, next up on Red Business, we have two guests in studio to talk about a company that is, again, one of those unsung stories of Irish business. They found a problem, they came up with a solution, and they've been working with some of the biggest names in the business, but not too many people know what they do. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the studio Damien McDonald and Mairead O'Donnell from Polar Ice Tech. You're both very welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you, Jonathan.
What do you do?
So essentially, we partner with industry and we reduce downtime, increase productivity by introducing a cryogenic cleaning process. It has a number of different names. One of them is dry ice blasting. So we use solid carbon dioxide and accelerate it through a jet of compressed air to generally clean moisture-sensitive and abrasive-sensitive process and production equipment.
Now, I'm going to sub that down to you do very fancy cleaning.
We do.
Very fancy cleaning. Yeah, and in kind of complicated areas as well, I'm guessing.
Yes. Quite generally in process environments or production environments. So there's a lot of, you know, we're removing some risky contaminants, and doing it in quite a quick and efficient and effective way.
How important is this, Mairead, for the companies that you're working with, that you can have confidence that things are going to be clean?
Yeah, I suppose it's incredibly important. So we clean high-value assets, Jonathan. We clean different things like stators and turbines and electrical distribution boards, as well as process and production equipment. So they're high-value assets for
our
customers.
You couldn't be going at them with a sponge and some soap.
No, but, you know, there's still traditional methods out there where people are going at them with hammers and chisels. And, you know, so you would have what we call a contaminant. So you'd have something on the surface that needs to be cleaned off. And what happens is that people are still using very traditional methods that are abrasive. So they're damaging the surface, but they don't know how to do it otherwise, because some piece of equipment, they might be moisture sensitive, and other pieces of equipment are abrasive sensitive. So they're looking at the small variety of cleaning methods that are out there. And where dry ice cleaning comes into it is where it allows people to clean moisture sensitive and abrasive sensitive high-value assets.
Okay, well, you see, if you mention dry ice now, my eye instantly, Damien, is drawn to a Bon Jovi video. So there's loads of it flying around the air. It doesn't necessarily clean things. It's a slightly more sophisticated technology than that, then.
It is, but the media is that in itself, I suppose. It's used in theatrical. It's solid carbon dioxide, so it's captured at source. And it's quite a sustainable cleaning media.
How is it sustainable? I suppose carbon dioxide is knocking around the environment anyway. In fact, we have too much of it in the world.
Absolutely. But I suppose it's captured at source. So what you see, like CO2 is created during many, it's naturally created during many industrial processes. The purest form would be in the beverage and the fermentation of distilleries, and also in the manufacturing of fertilizer, so the ammonia plants. So it's going out of the stack of these production facilities, and it's captured at that stage, and it's recycled and reused.
And turned into little blocks
into
that you
solid,
use.
Into a solid form, and we just accelerate that through a jet of compressed air.
So in other words, are you actually helping the environment by doing things the way you're doing it?
Absolutely. So while the media is sustainable, the process is very much eco-friendly, because there are no chemicals, it's non-toxic, it both cleans and decontaminates. So the dry ice itself is -78.5 degrees C, so it will clean a surface, but it will also decontaminate it. So it will kill bacteria.
Is a specialist kind of stuff, Mairead? Do you have to be specially qualified to use this type of technology?
Absolutely. And there are reasons why we're the market leader, you know, because there's very few companies. It's a very tricky product to use, and it takes a particular kind of skill and a particular type of equipment. And, you know, we've been in business 13 years. In 2016, Damien had been working with Polarized Tech for a number of years, and in 2016 he bought out the company.
Is it like that old lad from Remington years ago? I liked it so much I bought the company.
Is that something like that?
But you've got an impressive client list so far already.
We have, yeah. Yeah, we are, I suppose, it's almost all multinational companies. I suppose medical device being our strongest industry, but right through to we've semi-states, the likes of the ASB, and we also have even the OPW, so in historical restoration. So this is a new industry almost that we have opened up and created for cleaning historical buildings.
Does anybody else do it the way you do it? Or have you just perfected the art?
I suppose not in Ireland, not at the level that we're at. We have some small competitors, but they're in a different space, I suppose, you know. So globally, I suppose we, in recent years, we are now recognised globally. You know, it's quite a small niche industry, even globally, you know, but we have a number of competitors in the UK, we'll say, but because it's so small a niche, we talk to our competitors. I talk to them on a regular basis, and we're almost learning from each other. And creating, especially in the health and safety side of it,
yeah.
We're creating the better companies, I suppose, are the companies that engage regularly are almost creating
the opportunities.
Are there. Yes.
You're there cleaning the big tanks, but you're also cleaning the historic buildings.
Mm. Yeah.
And you're even down to the level of historic documents.
Absolutely.
How does that work, Brit?
So I suppose because the process is non-abrasive, we can, I suppose, manipulate the equipment and it can remove ink from a piece of paper without damaging the paper itself. And it's used a lot in the States in terms of historical documents. But we recently completed a project with the OPW. It was the most fascinating project ever to work on. It was an abbey right in the centre of Dublin, right beside the fruit markets in Smithfield, that was built in medieval Ireland, 1136. And we were in there cleaning the whitewash off the walls with the OPW to identify the type of stone that was laid in the 1100s. So we were cleaning that. And because the process has no moisture and it's non-abrasive, it was safe to know that we could remove the whitewash and not damage the stone or the brick or whatever the material was behind it.
Can you get tomato ketchup off a flower girl's dress? Because that's the big challenge in our house at the moment. Does it work on fabric? No?
I don't know, Damien, does it?
That's a good question. I suppose it does, because actually, I was going to say that's a good question, but I know the answer. It does work on fabric, because some of the, I suppose, in Europe it would be more widely used than it would be in Ireland, probably because of the costs of the CO2. It's more readily available.
Look, Amir, telling me there's hope. That's all I'm taking from this conversation.
But they use it in cars, like supercars, in actually cleaning the interior of the cars, whether it's the leather interior or the seats. Yeah. The fabric seats. So yes is the answer to that question.
The long and the short of it is, you're a Cork company. You're based in Middleton.
We're based in Middleton. Yes.
You're 16 years on the go, but now it's really taken off for you. What's the website if anybody wants to go and have a look? Because you've great YouTube videos. I was looking at them before you came in.
We do. So we've worked really hard on that, Jonathan, because for us, and when you talk about dry ice cleaning or dry ice blasting, you know, people are saying, well, what exactly is that? For us, we've been told by our customers that video and photographs are so important, and you kind of go, oh, I know now what it is. So it's polaricetech.ie. So that's our website.
Okay. And polaricetech.ie, and the link to the YouTube videos is there. And look, I think the potential is endless the way you're describing it. It really is. And it's a fascinating area of business that I hadn't known anything about. But for now, Damien McDonald and Mairead O'Donnell from Polaricetech, thank you so much for joining us on Red Business.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Red Business. All that's best about business in Cork.
My next guest is somebody who will be very familiar to some people because they would have cast a vote for her in the past. She's a former TD but is now the Business Development Director at EFM Ireland. Áine Collins, lovely to see you again. How are you?
Nice to see you too, Jonathan.
We've spoken many times in the past in our different roles. me grilling you because you're a politician and I love to grill politicians. This is a very different conversation. What is EFM Ireland and how did you find yourself working with them?
So EFM Ireland is an organisation that facilitates finance directors into small to medium businesses. So our finance directors become our associates. That's the model. And we find them and we screen them and we go through a process to make sure that they're suitable for our network or our clients. And then we find the clients. And the clients are typically businesses that have started up and that are growing and they want to continue to grow and need a finance director, but don't need a finance director full time and need somebody who's very experienced.
So in other words, what you're doing is you're bridging a gap for small companies that don't need the full-time role, but you put them in contact, almost like a speed dating for finance directors.
Yes, you could call it that. But I guess we've, as you know, I've been very attached to this sector for many, many years. And I suppose one of the biggest gaps in the whole market is when a company is growing, it's having the right skills around its management team. And a finance person is always needed. But a finance director adds that strategic kind of role as well as understanding the numbers and being able to kind of bring all the experience they have. Most of our associates are either have worked in large Indigenous Irish businesses or have worked with multinationals. So they're coming with that lens to look at a business and see what's important to get it to grow. And often it's about focusing the CEO on the strategic plan and, you know, guiding them and being there to advise them. Because often business owners get sidetracked with trying to manage the day-to-day cash flows, trying to manage the day-to-day building a team and so on.
You see, I include myself in this number. Money and counting is not my strength, but I am running a business. So therefore, it is the case that I need a little bit of outside help, which I have and I'm very grateful for. But if it was being left to me, it wouldn't work. And there's lots of others out there who need that kind of support.
Yes. And our service, as I said, is quite new because although we're finance directors, we're not taking over the place of the accountant. The accountant still does all the compliance, does all the year-end stuff. We'll still advise you on your tax. This is operational finance, day-to-day, as I said, managing the cash flow, looking at your debtors, looking at where your business is coming from, you know, where you want to get to and how are you going to, and like what's the roadmap and how are you going to get there? Well, that's really where we focus.
Yeah, the world of business and politics collides, as it has done in your life. But in general, what we have at the moment is a small bit of paralysis in the system because of Brexit. And people are either ignoring what might happen if there's a no-deal Brexit or they're just waiting to see what's going to happen. I mean, I think Miriam Lord put it very well in the Irish Times recently. She quoted a backbencher saying it's like being pregnant for eight and a half months pregnant for 3 years.
Yes.
Are you finding that in the people that you're talking to?
Absolutely. I mean, business across Irish Indigenous business across Ireland, really. I mean, we're particularly seeing it in Cork and in Dublin, where people are not making decisions. And when decisions are not being made, then kind of everything slows down. So people are in planning and they're not investing, which is never good for business because business has to keep moving. Even if you get something wrong, you have to move and change and keep going. So Brexit, I mean, I guess at this stage, we're nearly at, you know, we're at the 1st of October. We're 31 days away from whatever the decision will be. But business will survive whatever happens. Although it will be challenging, some sectors will grow, other sectors will be really challenged. But we'll all have to get through it together.
Do you think that mistakes have been made by people in dealing with Brexit? Because Brexit was the great unknown. And I fear, and I've spoken to people about this, that maybe they've left it a little too late at times to deal with what's coming.
Well, there hasn't been the take-up in the supports that have been put out by both the local enterprise offices and the Enterprise Ireland. So that is a challenge. But I suppose when you're running a business, Jonathan, as you know well, you're focused on the day-to-day management of it. And again, that's where somebody like having a finance director comes on board because they're always looking ahead and seeing what's up ahead and seeing, you know, that you can be guided through that as smoothly as possible. So there is a concern that business owners are not as ready as we would like them to be. But it is the great unknown, as you said. So, you know, when it happens, I think it'll kick off very quickly.
People, look, I listen to my accountant. I do everything my accountant tells me because I realise that the accountant is better than me, but finance directors need to be listened to as well. If you're jettisoning someone in as a finance director to somebody who thinks they know it all, is that a hard job?
That's a great challenge in working with CEOs across Irish business. And I suppose something I've been have had lots of experience in, because before I was in politics, I was an accountant in practice for many years.
Right, okay.
So I've come across lots of different exciting CEOs, and it is always a challenge because you kind of have to coach them. So there's a bit of that and a bit of mentoring involved and a bit of patience. So you do need a lot of skills to kind of bring them with you. But it is really about having that plan and getting everybody to buy into the plan for the business and where it's going.
But it's about listening as well, isn't it? It's about listening on Brexit. It's about listening to advice. People need to have their ears open. They can't know everything.
Of course, and neither can a finance director by that token. But I guess the whole idea is bringing a team together, and that's where the biggest gap is at the moment in Irish business, is having a team to support the business and have those skills. And that's the whole idea of having a part-time finance director. Many of these businesses don't need a full-time finance director. But bringing somebody in who's very experienced and who can be there, whether it is a half a day a month or 2 days a week, whatever the business needs. But also to look then at the other sides of the business that are needed, which are usually HR, which are usually engineering or whatever the business may be, what the needs are. So you have a mixed skill set to really help the CEO and really to try and get the CEO maybe out from over-managing the business and over-managing the people and kind of get them to focus on what they're really good at, which often is sales or the dealing with the customers or the clients or whatever that might be. So in my experience, that's usually where their greatest skill is.
Can I ask, do you miss politics? I know that politics being politics, I mean, you might still be there if you had a choice, but do you miss the cut and thrust of it? Are you happier now outside looking in?
Well, it took me a long time to move on from politics. I mean, I obviously was very committed to it and wanted to get re-elected in 2016, and then unfortunately that didn't happen for me. And when it's over, it's very much over very quickly.
The phone stops ringing.
It sure does. And you kind of miss it, and you miss the people more than anything. And you're kind of in this vacuum for a while because you don't really know which direction to go in. And I found that a big challenge. And there's no support, so you kind of have to figure out yourself. So it's almost being like laid off, and you know, that's it, kind of, you know.
With no redundancy.
We're not allowed to talk about money, Jonathan, you know that. So that was a big challenge, and I did have to dig deep myself, and I did go back and I did the Institute of Directors course, and I did some really good self-development, and I went to a great coach, which kind of helped me to figure out the path that was right for me. And it was about mixing all of those skills. So as I said, I'm an accountant by training and by profession and so on. The part of accounting I really like is working with the clients. And having spent so much time working with small to medium businesses in Ireland growing, I've always felt that this skill set, the helping the management team and helping the owners, is a real challenge. And, you know, this was confirmed for me recently. I was talking to Fergus McMahon in Enterprise Ireland, and they're trying to help Irish businesses export and grow. And he said there's a core of Irish businesses out there that have so much more potential, and it's still lacking in the management skill set. And it's usually around finance, believe it or not. And then I was at an IOD event in Dublin recently, and Mark Kennedy from Mazars was speaking at it. And he was exactly saying the same thing. He said the biggest challenge for Irish business is the team. And in Germany, they have a better opportunity because, as you know, in Germany, they have a lot of family-owned businesses, but they cluster and they kind of work in this space, which is an interesting model to look at.
Well, the good news is there is help at hand, and it is in the form of EFM Ireland. The website efmireland.ie, Business Development Director Áine Collins. Absolute pleasure to see you again, and the very best of luck.
Thank you, Jonathan. Delighted to be here.
My thanks, as always, to all of my guests. Don't forget, you can find every episode of Red Business on redextra.ie, along with the very best in content from Cork's Red FM. Niamh Hennessy produced, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Red Business. All that's best about business in Cork.